This old guy goes all the way back to his car to get a mask. 2025, and somebody's still wearing a damn mask. Holy crap.
Roll the drums. The Liberty Report starts now.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Tiptoe to tyranny continues with the end of the penny. And it's going to end with your digital prison. Hello, Jeff Maddox here. And I just thought I'd throw a few things out there for you to think about. They're doing away with the penny. But what does that mean? They say it costs too much. The little penny costs too much to make now. It costs more than a penny to make. Took a while for it to cost too much to make. But the Federal Reserve had been printing money for over 100 years. And a penny used to be copper. And then copper got to be too valuable. So then they started making them out of whatever it is they put in their dye now. So what is going to happen is to, you know, everything, your taxes are and all, it comes down to a penny. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go down instead of a dollar and 1 cent, it'll be a dollar? Or will it go up? A dollar and 1 cent is now a dollar and a nickel. Or $10 and 4 cent is now $10.05. Or when they calculate the tax, you know, 1% tax, and it comes out to a penny, they're going to round up. What about every cash register? How about what every gas pump? How about when you look over at the gas and it's $2.59? What are you going to do about that? When the gas pump stops at $3.51, what are they going to do? Are they going to reset all these to it's a nickel at a time? Ladies and gentlemen, this is just the tiptoe to tyranny continuing. You see, long ago, cash was king. You had cash all the time. And then you had checks. You write a check. You didn't need cash. You could write a check, and they would deduct it from the bank, and everybody accepted checks. And then came along this plastic thing called American Express, where you could charge during the month, and you paid off at the end of the month, and you didn't have to have cash. Then they came out with credit cards and debit cards, so you wouldn't have to carry that gross cash, and cash carries germs. And then in the Rona, remember? Oh, don't do cash because cash carries corona. And then remember when they said, oh, you know, every piece of cash that we ever test has got cocaine all over it. It's all for drug trafficking and money laundering. Yeah, That's what they told you. But they're getting ready to get rid of it. They're slowly, incrementally getting ready to get rid of your cash. Why? So then they can control you and me by what we buy and sell. You know, maybe it's not a mark yet, but it showed the beast. You know, and nobody cares. Nobody seems to notice. They don't notice how the tyranny is going because it's just one little step at a time. One little step at a time. Ah, you son of a bitch. Damn, dinging like hell. I'm gonna know where I get out of here. That's it. I think it's in, he's in Camden. I'm going there. Josephine's trying to tell me that she's having rotator cuff surgery. And we're at the doctor's office, or the surgeon's office, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Where was I? So most people don't think anything about this penny and what that really means. They don't understand that the tiptoe to tyranny is in this penny. Just symbolizes our fall, our slow descent into feudalism, where the haves will have a lot and the have not, you own nothing and be happy. That's why they're coming out with the 50-year mortgage. You know, Donald Trump compared himself to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who gave us the 30-year mortgage. Why? Because they had devalued the money so bad that a 20-year mortgage, housing was getting unaffordable again. So they came out with a 30-year mortgage so that the little slaves of Slavelandia would have to pay more and more interest for a longer period of time. Now Donald Trump is working with the bankers for a 50-year mortgage that you'll never pay off. And even if you sell that house and go to another one, you'll get another 50-year mortgage and you'll never pay it off. And like the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab say, you own nothing and be happy. I don't know about the happy part, but you'll damn sure own nothing. But people can't see it. You know, I often say, what if they held an election and nobody showed up? What if instead of voting for the lesser of two evils, you didn't show up at all? Or what if everybody showed up and cast a spoiled ballot like they did in Ireland? Listen to this little tidbit.
For those of you who aren't following the twists and turns of Irish presidential politics, something just happened in Ireland just a few weeks ago that's probably worthy of our attention.
So we're here at Dublin Castle as the votes are coming in for the 2025 presidential election. Catherine Connolly is running away with it in pretty much all parts of the country and is in the clear lead. It seems unassailable now and that she will be the next president of Ireland. But one of the other aspects of this story, which will get a lot of coverage, is the sheer volume of spoiled ballots, which are overwhelming across the country. For context, the highest number of spoiled ballots there have ever been in an Irish presidential election was 4.4%, and that was back in 1945, so quite a long time ago. And currently we're seeing in Dublin West, the tallies are indicating 14% spoiled ballots. In Dublin Fingal East, it's 11%, according to the tallies. In Dublin Midwest, it's looking at about 21%. According to Dublin Rathdown's tallies, they're looking at 7%, 17% in Dublin Central, 10% in Galway West, 15% in Longford, West Meath, 11% in Roscommon, Galway, etc., etc. You get the picture. So the seismic number of spoiled ballots combined with a historically low turnout, which it appears to be the case that there's going to be very few people who turned out to vote this time around, that comparative to previous elections, I think that will be a major takeaway and kind of a seismic shift when it comes to how people have conveyed their feelings about this election.
Wait, did he say election or selection there at the end? Well, in any event, yeah, some interesting things are happening in Ireland. And I would like to give special thanks to a listener, Katie from Ireland, who wrote in to tell me about this development, because I certainly didn't hear it in the news over here in Japan. But Katie wrote, "Hi, James, I hope you're keeping well. I thought this recent news from Ireland might pique your interest. We just had our presidential elections, and unlike previous elections, there were only two candidates on the ticket, plus a third candidate who was on the ballot paper but pulled out of the race. To be nominated, candidates must obtain nominations from members of the Senate, Parliament, or multiple local councils. The established parties used their power to block anti-establishment candidates from being nominated, while five left-wing parties rallied behind one independent who was the eventual victor. The rigged system blew up in their faces as people were livid over the lack of choice. There was an unprecedented spoiling of votes, almost 13%. For context, previous elections had roughly 1% votes spoiled. This appears to be a European record, if not a world record. Though the choices are limited, at least we're making life difficult for the powers that shouldn't be and undermining their legitimacy. Small victories." All right, thank you for that very informative update, Katie. That is the kind of news that I'm very interested in hearing about, so thank you for sharing that. And I don't know, small victory? Maybe. But on the bigger scheme of things, it could be a much larger victory if people understood what was happening in a moment like this and what it really means. But if you do want to understand what this really means, well, you're not going to get it from the usual sources in the lying liars of the mainstream media, where you could turn to, for example, the Irish Times for their take on this. "Why I spoiled my vote. Quote, I feel invisible to the Irish political classes. Absence of choice is the overwhelming motivation for those who responded to an Irish Times call out, an Irish Times survey." So yes, evidently it seems people don't feel represented in this selection for their presidential ruler. Interesting. Or you could turn to the Irish Examiner. "Concerns raised over 200,000 plus spoiled votes in presidential election." And for context, for Americans and others, 200,000 in a country the size of Ireland is a lot of people. "The invalid ballots represent 13% of all votes cast on Friday, and a more than tenfold increase on the number of spoiled votes in the last presidential election." You could turn to the newsletter, which says, "Irish leaders express concern that more than 200,000 spoiled their votes, saying that their unhappiness needs to be understood." Oh yes, sir, employing that Delphi technique to, "Oh, we hear you, we're listening. We want to understand what's going on here." It's so hard to parse. If only someone could explain it to us. Yes, Irish misleaders, that headline should probably say. But if you want the one that really takes the cake, you're going to have to go to the journal.ie and the fact checkers of the mainstream media, who are always happy to tell you why in actuality there's nothing at all unusual or interesting happening here, guys. Actually, as ballots are counted, misleading claims that the election was rigged spread online. And this report, this propaganda, starts by saying, "As ballots are being accounted across Ireland today, many fringe figures online are celebrating the high number of votes that were spoiled in this year's presidential election. Some of those accounts are pointing to the number of spoiled votes combined with a low turnout as evidence that the election result is illegitimate." You can see these establishment toadies wetting the bed, literally pissing their pants over the fact that people are calling out the system for what it is, a rigged and phony and illegitimate system at its base, and they're refusing to play the game anymore. That, to me, is not just a small victory, that could be a very large victory if people understood the power of that action.
And so the Irish people have gotten fed up. 14%, 20% casting spoiled ballots. That is a clear sign that the government has lost legitimacy. There's still a number of people that still vote because they've been indoctrinated to believe in demonocracy, that you can elect good people, and there'll be enough good people in there to keep the bad people at bay and give you and secure liberty for us all. That hadn't worked out too good. 250 years, 257, 200, how many years has it been? And slowly but surely, all our rights have been incrementally, slowly taken away. And the government has become bigger and bigger and bigger and uncontrollable. Then look at what they've done and captured all the medical, all the industry, all the corporations. They're all in bed together now. You got the corporatocracy, and you've got this medical industrial complex. And you can't get away from it. You know, remember what the doctors did during the corona. You know, safe and effective. Here, get your shot. Doctors never ask it a question. Have you asked your doctor any questions? You know, you ought to be questioning these men and these men and women and days and thems about what the hell is going on. Ask them. Ask them, do you know about ivermectin and how much it cured corona? Did you know that the shots are not safe and effective and cause all kinds of problems? You know, if your doctor doesn't have a clue about that, you need to fire his ass. Go find you somebody else. Most doctors are like that. They should be thrown out of the medical profession because they're just indoctrinated little puppets. Now, there are some out there. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I got diagnosed with cancer, we went to the first oncologist. Beautiful black lady. Don't know where she's from and all. We told her about ivermectin, mebendazole, and what turkey tail mushroom, all the stuff that we were doing. You know what she told us? We would have to quit. We would have to quit any of those protocols before she would let us be treated by her with her voodoo juice and all that. Well, needless to say, we fired her ass right quick. Went to another one. Same thing. They didn't want to hear that. Never heard of it. You got to quit that. Finally hit on one. While he didn't acknowledge any of that, but at least he didn't say, you got to shut it off or we're not treating you. But he did put you on a regular regimen, put you into radiation treatment and chemotherapy. And you know, you're caught in between a rock and a hard place at that point. Because here I am. Excuse me. Here I am with stage 4, small cell carcinoma, metastasized into my sternum. And, you know, you're in this medical system, and the only way that you can see what's going on inside you is through their instruments. And if they're going to refuse you treatment because you're using something alternative, you don't have much choice here. So we decided that we'd have one foot inside the medical industrial complex to use their good technologies to monitor and go in with the protocols of the rebels, of those that think outside the box, to critically think, to use other people's studies to understand what is actually going on. And so we did. And so I went through radiation. We were already treating with ivermectin and membendazole, turkey tail mushroom, and cucunum. I can't say these things. Hemp oil, all various other things. And I was supposed to have 30 radiation treatments. And they do a targeted, they use your PET scan so they can tell where the tumors are and all. And they focused in on the tumor that was next to my sternum, 4.3 centimeters, pretty good sized tumor. And that's where they were targeting the radiation. Ladies and gentlemen, after 15 treatments, they suddenly, right after that 15th treatment, they said, the doctor's ordered a CT scan. We're going to do a CT scan. And it turns out that CT scan showed that the tumor had shrunk massively, quickly. And they were surprised, and the doctor was surprised as she could be. And she had to redo the whole treatment schedule from halfway to the through the rest of the 30, 15 treatments left because the tumor was shrinking so fast. Not because of the radiation, but because of the ivermectin and membendazole. Now, looking back, we would have stopped right then. We should have stopped right then any of these other treatments. But not knowing what we didn't know, and not knowing what we know now, we went ahead with 15 more radiation treatments. Burnt up my throat. Couldn't hardly swallow, hurt to swallow. Nerve pains all around that chest area that still continue to today. Went through two rounds of chemo and lost all my hair. You can go back and look at the videos. And that liked to kill me. I went from 195 down to 130 pounds. I looked like I had come from Auschwitz. And this doctor never acknowledged a single thing that we did as having an effect. Two clear PET scans later, and he still won't admit it. These oncologists are brainwashed and dumbed down to the point where they are just little puppets of the industrial complex. They shouldn't be trusted. I don't trust them. I ask questions. Ask your doctors about it. Ivermectin and membendazole. If you're in cancer, if you have been diagnosed with cancer, ask your doctor about these alternative medications. These off-label treatments. If they know nothing about it, find you another oncologist. Find you another doctor. Call them out for not doing their own homework. Any oncologist that does not know about this by now should be fired. Should be disbarred from ever practicing medicine ever again. They're snakes. They're not worried about you. They don't give a crap about you. They don't get the more treatments they give you, the more BMW payments they can make. They don't care about you. They might smile and tell you they do, but they really don't. They want you to go through as much pain and misery as possible because that's where they get their paycheck. Same thing with Big Pharma. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be a lot smarter than that. We have to take personal responsibility for ourselves. And we need to learn how to govern ourselves. And by governing ourselves, that means not participating in this foolishness called elections. Just think about your county council and how many idiotic things they've done throughout the years. And I can think of bunches and bunches, dozens of things that they've done over the years. And what if they weren't in charge? What if you hadn't voted for them? What if you had not participated? They would have had, would have no legitimacy at all. You could laugh at them and they could not do any more harm to you. They couldn't steal anything from you. They couldn't steal it and then build their little temples to themselves to get you to vote for them again. You can't be free by electing somebody. You will never be free doing that. You will be less and less free with each passing selection. It's just that plain, just that simple. Even your general practitioner, talk to your general practitioner. Ask them if they got the shot. Why? And would they do it again? Ask them if they know about the myocarditis, or the brain fog, or the spike protein, or the detox for the spike protein, or how ivermectin is good for to get rid of corona. Ask them if they know anything about it. If they don't, fire them. That's the call of the boxcars. It's coming. Yeah. We keep going down this road, we tiptoe to tyranny, and one day, that train whistle will be blowing for me and you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to wake up, we have to figure out that government is not our friend, government is our enemy. And that the corporations and the billionaires and the psychopaths are out to kill me and you. Until next time.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?